Amen. Amen. Let the church say amen. Amen. God is good. And God is all the time good. Amen. All the time God is good. You know, I kind of feel like a family reunion this morning. Because we have some who have come back to us this morning. Amen. Even if it's for just a short time, they're here. Sister Welch is back today. The Lewises are back. And Mark and his family are here this morning. So we all are the family of God. So we've got some who have come back to us today. And let us be ever grateful and thankful to God that He has given them safe passage, that they have made it here and are here with us right now. God has given us all safe passage because He guided us from last Sunday up until this Sunday. He brought us through a long week. He brought us through long nights, dark days and long nights. God is good. Yes, He is. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the book of Acts chapter 20, and the verse was number 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all of them, all them which are sanctified. We'll get to that in a minute, but let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. O Lord, our great and wonderful Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us, Father, to see this new day that is brought unto us. We pray, O Heavenly Father, not only that you just let us peep over into it, but we pray that you give us this entire day, if it be your will. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for those who are here among us today. And we pray for those who, because of illness, cannot be with us today. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, that your will has been done in all of our lives. I thank you, O Heavenly Father, especially for putting us to sleep last night. And then you awaken us with the touch of grace and mercy and love this morning to allow us to be on into this day. I thank you, O Lord. I thank you, Father, for the church here at Stony Island and for all of the churches of Christ that are doing and living by your word, O Lord. I thank you for the leaders here and their families. I thank you for the members and their families. And I pray for those families who have not yet discovered that you are the greatest and the best and the one and only that ever lived and that ever came to this earth to save us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for your word. Thank you for the grace and mercy that you give unto us. Thank you, O Lord, and I pray and ask you to be with all of those this morning, especially those who are hearing your word this morning. I pray for those who are delivering your word here and elsewhere. I pray, O Heavenly Father, that you be with this congregation this morning. Be with us all and watch over and keep us throughout the day and throughout our lifetime. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, who because He lived, we have an opportunity, because He died, we have an opportunity to live. Thank you for everything, Lord, and it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask all of these and other blessings. Amen. There are some words that are good for a Christian to know. And a couple of the words that we should be happy to know is that the Word of God, the Word of His grace. So this morning we want to talk about the Word of His grace. All people, especially Christians, should know things like no words like prayer, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, church, and of course, the Bible. For without the Bible, we not only can connect with our past, we can also know what we have to look forward to in the future. We must carefully and prayerfully allow the Bible to guide us in the ways of the Lord. In order for us to understand just how peaceful and how important the Bible is to us, we must give it its rightful place. In other words, we must read it and not neglect it. We must study it and not reject it. We must never ever substitute it, for when we do, we have allowed it to be compromised by the thoughts of man. The church is the body of Christ, and we must be in a position of letting the Bible prepare us that we may guide others to Jesus Christ. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have the Bible today. It's not only a good thing, but it's a wonderful thing to have the Bible. Because the Bible prepares and lays out a roadmap for all of us. The church could not be anything without the Word of God. It gives the church power. God's Word gives the church power. The same Word of God on the day of Pentecost is the same Word that we have today. And it is meat for our lives. And it is meant also as well for the same purpose, to convict souls that they may be saved. Now when they heard this, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We in the church would answer that question the same way it was answered in Acts 2 and verse number 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Bible gives us answers then, and it gives us, the church today, the power to answer it today. Just how powerful is the Word of God? Well, let the Bible show us, or let the Bible tell us. In Hebrews chapter 4 and the verses number 12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joint and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. The sword separates or cuts away ignorance. It will cut away the vilest of men's thoughts. It can cause a sinner to see his thoughts and his ways. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit, according to Ephesians chapter 6 and the verses 17. Any church that compromises on the Word of God is a church headed for a fall. God-loving, God-fearing Christians know that without their Bible, which is the Word of God, is like looking for a lost ball in tall weeds. Because a weak Bible-based church is an open invitation for Satan to take hold, and if he gets the right hold, he will run with it. You know, it's not easy to fathom the thought that Satan can be in the church, but Satan is in the church. Church, Satan is here. When he came in when the doors were open this morning, just like we did. And he is here. Now, I don't know what color suit he may be wearing. I don't know what color dress he may be dressed up in, but he is here this morning. And we've got to be careful, church. We've got to allow the Word of God, like Paul, he said to the brethren, he said, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. God's Word is the right place to be in, and it's the right time to be in the right place. The Bible is God's Word. And there is no other. And I know what we like to think, well, there are so many Bibles out there. Which one do I believe? Believe the right one. And that is God's holy and divine Word. The Word of God. That's what we must believe. God's Word builds faith. A church must teach faith from the Bible. In Romans chapter 10 and 17, the Bible, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There will always be those that hear God's Word and still not believe it. But on the other hand, those that believe must have first heard. They have to hear in order to believe. It is God who gives faith, but it is the Word of God which is the vehicle used that we may obtain our faith and learn of our faith. The only thing we must do is to hear the Word. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 13, the writer said, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. The Word of God is unlike the wisdom of man. The Word of God was inspired by God to man, not by man to God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the verses 16 and verse number 17, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. But then in verse number 17, Here's the reason. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible writers, those who pen the Word of God, did not speak from themselves or by the word of man, but instead by the inspiration of God. They were moved by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, in other words. We can and we have faith in the Word of God because it is from God. The same Word of God lets us know what faith is. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." When we speak of faith, don't look to see, feel, or touch it, or smell it. Like I've said before, faith is untouchable, unfeelable, unseen, but you must believe, you must have faith in order to please God. In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, being justified by what? By faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Now I tell you something, church. A Christian must have faith in order that he pleases God. You cannot please God without faith. And faith comes by hearing, as I told you before. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when you think about it, church, where would we be without our faith? And we have to have faith, because there are so many things in the Word of God that tells us that it makes us feel, make people think that it's unbelievable. But God, through God, we have faith that His Word will always be what it is and what it gives us. And you know, when I look at this text, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God in the words of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all of them which are sanctified." I think about some things. When I think about the Word of God, how often have you decided that with the Word of God you can be as powerful as you want to be? You can be as powerful as you need to be with the Word of God. And I know sometimes having the Word of God and having faith seems daunting to a Christian sometimes, because sometimes we feel like we miss out on things. We feel like we miss stuff, if you will. We feel like that I don't have what my neighbor has. I can't see myself ever getting what my neighbor has. But you know something? All of that stuff that your neighbor has is material stuff. I don't care how much money he has. I don't care how much real estate he owns. I don't care how many cars he drives. All of that's materialistic. Cars rust out. Clothes get too small or too big. And real estate eventually falls if it's not taken care of. But all of that is just material. But the Word of God will last and it will stand forever, church. God's Word teaches us. The Bible, since it is the Word of God, can teach us all that we need to know about life, about God, about death, about heaven, about hell, and of the church. I know that within the last week or two, you've been hearing a lot about what's been going on the other side of the world. And to some of us, it may have confused us. Some of us have been led, those who don't have that faith I spoke of a minute ago, may be a little bit confused. But I'm going to tell you something, church. The Church of Christ, the Church of Jesus, is the only place we can find the truth, and that's in the Word. The only place we can find the truth is in the Word of God. And the Church is the Church of Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18, He said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Any believer of the Bible should come to realize that the church was then and is the same institution that we serve in today. The church must follow the rules laid out back then, and once we understand the foundation of the church, Christ becomes the clear builder. For He is and He was and He still is the chief cornerstone. And no building can stand, or no building can stand without a foundation. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. The Bible teaches us that the builder of the church was and is also still that same Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us that who really is the head of the church in Colossians chapter 1 and 18. Jesus is the head of the body, which is the church. No man, no matter what man says, no matter what the religious world may claim, there is but one word of God, and that word teaches us the truth about the church. I don't care what you've been in, your mind has been filled with over the past couple of weeks. Don't believe it. Don't believe it. I even heard, well, I'm not going to get into that, but I even heard some things that were troubling from time to time. But you know something? I relied on my faith to get me through. I relied on my faith to let me have the ability to separate fact from fiction. I relied on my faith to understand that the world of man does not equate to the Word of God. So when you think about it, church, these are the words that Jesus said to us, and it teaches us not only about the church, but it teaches us not only about the church and its builder, but it also teaches us how that God answers prayer. In John chapter 15 and verse number 7, the Bible says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." These are the words of Jesus. The Word teaches us about sin and the church. In Ephesians 5, turn over with me, if you will, to Ephesians 5. It's a familiar passage, and you ought to know it just like I ought to know it by now. But, you know, sometimes I think to myself, why take a chance? Just open up the book and it'll tell you. In Ephesians chapter 5, starting at about verse number 24, starting at verse number 24, let us start there. The Bible says, "Therefore, as the church is the subject unto Christ, so let wives be subject unto their own husbands in everything." And I know a lot of wives don't like that, but that's the way it is. "Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." And going back to the Bible school this morning, "So ought men love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." So we've got to love, church. We've got to love one another. We've got to love our wives. We've got to love our brethren. We've got to love the Lord and serve Him so that we may serve Him in spirit and in truth. Then it teaches on the truth of sin. According to 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." But on the other hand, I want you to notice verse number 9, where it says, "If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." The Word of God is comfort for the hurt, to the hurt, to the lonely, to the discouraged, and He gives us hope in death. The words of a song comes to mind sometimes, and the words of that song says, "When my soul is resting in the presence of the Lord, I'll be satisfied." So this morning, if your soul is not resting with the Lord, I don't understand how you can say you are satisfied. Your soul needs to be resting in the presence of the Lord in order for your soul to be resting in the presence of the Lord. You've got to get it right down here. We must plan to get into heaven, in other words, church. Remember the lesson that Noah taught us in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 6. Where he taught us the lesson that we must plan ahead. Now Noah was told to build an ark, yet there was no rain ever seen. But God knew what he was going to do. He was going to send a great flood. So Noah prepared by obeying God and building that ark. And then it started to rain. You've got to be ready, for God shall call us to come home. So we've got to prepare early. We've got to prepare early and often. So until your soul is resting in the presence of the Lord, you may not be satisfied. And I'm gonna kind of rush on through this message now so that we can all stay on time this morning. So I'm going to end this message today by telling all of us that our hearts need to find out, our hearts need to be with the Lord. And will you be satisfied, or will you be sad when you meet Him? Don't allow yourself to be caught up in the teachings of man, but instead, always and all the time, allow the Word of God to guide us. For the Word of God, it offers us healing for the sick. It offers light in dark times. It offers help for the helpless, encouragement for the discouraged, hope for the hopeless, love for the lonely, and rest for the restless. Church, I tell you, the Word of God. And that's why Paul commended those brethren, because he knew, in other words, he trusted them to the Word of God. Do you trust in the Word of God this morning? Have you commended yourself to the Word of God? If I ask the question that I've asked before, I'm going to ask it again anyhow. If God came today, would you be ready? And if you're not ready, you need to ask yourself a couple of questions. Number one, what will it take for me to get ready? And number two, how do I get ready? And then you need to answer those questions for yourself. You know, it's good to take a self-inventory. It's good to understand that God's Word is the best and the only thing that we should be following. Now, I know what some like to say, and many like to say around here. They like to say, I'll get it together when I get a little older. But you know something? I'll tell you something about getting older. As you get older, number one, your patience wears thinner. Number two, you don't like to read as much as you used to read. Number three, you don't like to follow directions like you once followed. So you need to get it together while you still can. And I'm not knocking old folk, because I hit that mark a little while ago myself. But I've learned one thing in getting older. Getting older does not always mean you're getting wiser. So some old folk are just as stupid as they were when they were 20. But I tell you something, church. I tell you something, that once you ought to get into your mind once and for all, that without God we can be nothing, and we are not going home until God calls us home. So we may as well learn to accept the Word of the Bible, the Word of God, get it right while we're down here, so we don't have to struggle about it when we come face to face with Him. Because then it's too late. Do you remember what the rich man wanted Lazarus to do? He just wanted to cool off his tongue. He said, just tell him to bring a drop of water. Now, what will a drop of water do in hot heat? Nothing. But that's how tormented he was. And I'm not saying that that's where you're going, but all I'm saying, that's an example from the Bible. And so what I tell you this, what I'd like to say to you this morning, is commend yourself to the Word of God. Trust in the Word of God. Live by the Word of God. And when you live by the Word of God, you shall die by the Word of God. And if you die by the Word of God in your heart, guess what, church? You're in a better position, that you can be satisfied, like the words of that song. Till my soul is resting in the presence of the Lord, I'll be satisfied. Till your soul is resting in the presence of the Lord. And I tell you something, church, I can't possibly save every last one of you. I can only save myself. I can only try, I should say, to save myself. And you've got to try to save yourself. And if you don't save yourself, I'm not going to save you because I can't. And once you try, you do your best to save yourself, thank God you're going to be in the hands of a just God. I like that thought, a just God. That's why Paul commended his brethren to the Word of God, the Word of God's grace. And that's why I commend you to the Word of God's grace this morning. I suggest to you that you open up your Bible. It doesn't look as good when it's cover closed as it does when it's cover open. So open up your Bible. Study the will and the Word of God. Learn how to live while you're here that you may die right. Live right here that you may die right. Then I ask a final question. I ask a final question this morning. Have you even met the Lord? If you haven't met the Lord, then certainly you haven't put Him on. And if you haven't put Him on, you need to ask the question of yourself this morning. If I'm not ready, why not? In other words, if not, why not? And then you ask the preacher, ask the church, ask somebody sitting next to you, what shall I do? Just like they asked Peter and the other disciples, what shall I do to be saved? What shall I do? What must I do? You need to hear the gospel, believe it, repent, confess, and then be baptized. But what if I did that years ago? But I walked astray. And I'll tell you, sir, I'll tell you a little secret. I got a minute or two. I'll tell you a little secret. It's not hard to walk astray. You may think that you're doing all the right stuff. You may think that you're doing the right thing, but somebody out there has got it in for you and may cause you to not do the right thing. It's easy to fall off the track, and if you're not on the track, then you're not in the race. You're disqualified when you fall off the track because you got to be on the track to be in the race. It's like so many of you bought lottery tickets last week. Without those tickets, you didn't have a chance. Oh, I know some of them bought lottery tickets, Brother Miles. But in order for you to get in the race, to be in the race, you've got to stay on the track. If you fall, you've got to learn to pick yourself up, get back in the race. That's why if you've already went astray, you can come back home. And there's nothing wrong with coming forward and asking the church to pray with you and for you, that you may get back on the track. I'll tell you one thing, one other thing too. When you fall off that track or fall out of the race, when you pick yourself back up, and I'm speaking from personal experience now, it feels good. It feels good. You've got to plan for your future. If you don't plan for your future, the future is not going to plan for itself. So I suggest to you this morning that you go into the Word of God. And what I found over the years, and I've heard many other people tell me the same thing. What I've found over the years, I don't care how many times you read God's Word, every time you go back another time, you're going to see something that I never seen that before. Because it always was there, but you missed it. So I commend you that you go to God's Word this morning. This afternoon, because right now you're getting it, but soon as some of you leave, you're not going to hear any more about God's Word until next week. But thank God, Bible class starts this Wednesday night, so you got a second chance. So if there's anyone in the audience today that needs to be commended to the Word of God, need to recommit yourself, entrust yourself to the Word of God, you can come as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.